You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Thoughts of suicide may feel impossible to overcome, but with help and support, you can find hope and meaning. Call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK to speak to a counselor, or visit suicidepreventionlifeline.org. It's free, it's confidential, it's available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And even if it feels like it, you're not alone.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5000. Enjoy.
I'm Little Teapot, short and stout.
Here is my handle and here is my spell.
No, Dad, like this. When I get all steamed up, then I shout, tip me over and
pour me out.
This is WWE superstar Roman Reigns. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov, brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
KLRN Radio has advertising rates available. We have rates to fit almost any budget. Contact us at advertising@klrnradio.com.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Something.
Absolutely.
You know what we gotta do?
Foga party.
Foga! Foga!
Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga! Foga!
Click, click, boom! I'm coming down on the stereo, ripping on the radio. Click, click, boom!
Me
I want you to kill every golfer on the course.
Check me if I'm wrong, Sandy, but if I kill all the golfers, they're going to lock me up and throw away the key.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh?
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
And good evening, everybody, and welcome to the program. I am Rick Robinson. He is Ordy Packard. And damn it, you bastards in the chat, Dan is not my imaginary friend, and it's also not what I call my you-know-what. Anyway, you guys are just wrong. Anyway, bring it. But for the record, I have missed every single one of you for the last, 7 days that I have not had internet. It has been the longest 7 days of my life. And we're going to start with some of the drama that I have dealt with after not having internet for 7 days. Because basically what happened is so my internet completely died as of Wednesday. On Tuesday morning, we were having power flashes, internet issues, so I wasn't able to do the morning show. My internet worked well enough for me to do the day job because the power came back up. That morning, I don't remember what happened on Wednesday. I think we did do the morning show on Wednesday, and then I went and did my day job, and about halfway through the day, all of a sudden, my internet just quit. So I'm, calling my bosses, and they're panicking, and I'm panicking. So the next thing is, the next day, I'm driving in to get a hotspot so I can still do work, and then I'm like, well, can I use this to do my other stuff, too? And they're like, do you want to pay the extra $150 a month? I'm like, no, not really. So no, that's fine. But the whole time, I'm calling my internet company. I'm like, look, it just stopped working out of the middle of nowhere. Nobody seems to know what's going on. Turns out, but in the weirdest thing, right, because I guess because everybody's working from home, every time I called the number, I got the same dude. And he sounded just like a Pooh from The Simpsons.
Because I know the answer to this or the resolution of this story, I am enraged for you. And I know the pain you went through, because I just did it 6 months ago.
Yeah, so here's the thing, right? So I get this guy, and he's like, well, if you typical first clue that you know somebody's reading from a troubleshooting script, have you unplugged it and plugged it back in? Right. Dude, I have a degree in IT work. Ask me that fucking question again. Just please ask me that question again. So
whenever I get him on the phone, the first thing I say to you, just elevate me to the next tier because I know more than you do. I know you're supposed to read from the script and troubleshoot these things to say that you have been through it. I assure you, I have done all of that already.
And then so the other thing I'm telling the dude is, I'm like, look, your automated system already said if I hadn't done those things to hang up and try them again. So if I hadn't done those things, do you think I would have not listened to the automated system and kept waiting on hold to talk to you for 20 minutes and you can barely speak English? I said, here's the problem, dude. I run two businesses out of my home and I work from home right now and I have no internet. I said, it's just gone. He's like, well, let me try to ping your modem. Good luck. There's a red light on the front and there's no activity lights on the back. Try to ping it. Tell me what happens. Well, it's not hearing anything, which means I'm going to have to roll out a technician. No, that's not the problem. I'm telling you, there's an outage. There is no, because even my neighbor at this point, I've called my neighbor who has the same service and their service doesn't work either. And so so after I talk to this dude for 20 minutes, I give up, I hang up the phone, I'm calling my boss, be like, I don't know what to do. I can't get back online. And by the time I drive in there, if I try to get the hotspot today, you guys are going to be closed. So worst comes to worst, I can just, if they don't have it fixed by tonight, I will get the hotspot in the morning. So then I call the guy back after I talk to my boss, and I give him my phone number, and he said, well, I'm showing this account is disconnected. And I'm like, what do you mean you're showing this account is disconnected? I just talked to you 30 minutes ago. My account was not disconnected. I called you because I've put in a trouble ticket because my internet's not working. He's like,
oh, you pinged my modem. That should have come up when you... Anyway,
yeah,
go on.
So, yeah, and this is the next thing I said. I said, you pinged my modem. When you pinged my modem, it should have shown whether the account was active or not. Well, give me your phone number one more time, sir. Okay, this is my number. Okay, my mistake. Your account is not inactive after all, but we still have to roll out a technician because I have no idea what's going on in my other system. I'm telling you, it's an outage. There are people that are burying fiber optic cables a half a mile up from my house. There are three trucks out there, and one of them is screaming at everybody else, which means one of your lines got cut. If you could just send somebody out to go check on it, that would be awesome. So they we'll get somebody out as soon as we can. And since you're working from home, we're going to escalate the ticket. We'll try to have somebody out to the youth before 5 o'clock today. I'm like, that would be awesome because then I don't have to drive into town to get a hotspot to keep working as of tomorrow. So at 4:30, I get a text message. Your appointment has now been moved to Monday. This was Wednesday, by the way. I went from same day service to fuck you. We'll be there by Monday if you're lucky. Then So I call them back after I get the hotspot and make sure everything else is working, make sure I can get connected, all that fun stuff. And this is, by the way, after the week I had before where I couldn't log in on my home computer anymore from to be able to telecommute. So this is now two trips into the office I've had to make this shit work. And then the dude's like, well, now we're not going to be able to have a tech out until Wednesday. So Monday night, my internet starts working-ish. And when I say ish, I'm paying for at least up to 25 megabits per second up and anywhere from 10 to 12, or I'm sorry, down and anywhere from 10 to 12 megabits up. I started pinging at 26K.
Again, I've been through this.
So I'm like, okay, so I call him. I say, okay, so the internet is working, but I have dial-up speeds, which means I'm still having to work from a hotspot and means I can't do anything else that I do that with all the other things that I do. And he's like, well, the soonest we'll be able to have a tech out is Wednesday. So to not go through the rest of it, just to get you to the point of where I was today, tech finally shows up today, goes and looks at the lines, comes back, knocks on the door. Needless to say, at this point, I'm supposed to be at work. So I'm like putting in exceptions and telling people, you know, I can't work right now because I have a technician on site, blah, 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 yada, yada, yada. Technician comes back and he says, I'm confused. Are you Al or are you Robert? Rick. You guys know my real name is not Rick, so I don't really care. But anyway, so he says, are you Al or are you Robert? And I said, well, Al's the guy next door. That's my neighbor. He's the other one who isn't going to have a tech out until Friday. And he said, well, I think I found part of your problem. I said, what are you talking about? He said, somehow your internet and phone account have been transferred to his house, and his internet and phone account have been transferred to your house. Some of you have met me, and you can probably understand what I mean by giving him double crazy eye. But I'm like, how is that even fucking possible? How do you take someone's internet account and their phone number and transfer it to a new home without notification? He's like, I don't understand it either. I'm going to have to go to the office and have them look at this and get this fixed. And then he comes back and he says, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but I figured out what happened. Somebody accidentally disconnected your account the other day, didn't want to admit it because we had a guy who was basically a half mile up the road who was disconnecting services because his OEC is being installed. They disconnected your account instead of his account. When they remember when I said that they said my account was disconnected? Then when they realized that they had made a mistake, they went in and tried to fix it, but they flipped everything back around. So not only was there an outage that we did eventually have to fix, because you were right, there were lines that were cut up the street. They turned off your service, flipped it around, and now I'm here to tell you that I finally have it all fixed. So that was me for all of this week dealing with technical support, and I'm drinking a beer as we speak, just for the record.
Hey, you're with
Windstream.
Yes.
Otherwise known as POS.
Right. You know, and I watched a great video this weekend thinking of your problems and the problems I've had in the past. And it was Elon Musk with his Starlink internet service. And it wasn't really him so much, but it was, you know, talking about what the service is and what it will provide and everything. And it's supposed to give gigabit service to rural areas via the satellite, via this constellation of satellites. And I'm thinking, okay, that's cool. But I'm a little leery about it because, you know, Dish Network, HughesNet, and the other ones is kind of cringy. And the best part of it, though, was when they were interviewing Elon Musk about the service. And he says, well, you know, basically, it's not going to work if you're in a city because it's just too dense. But if you're out in a rural area or in the suburbs, you'll get this device that looks like a UFO on the end of a stick, and then you point it at the sky. And the directions are very simple. Plug it in and point it at the sky. No training necessary. And it works either way. You know, you plug it in first or point it at the sky first. So I was, you know, and I'm looking at them like, okay, just for that joke, I want this service. And he's beta testing it this year. So
nice.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. You'd mentioned that earlier, but yeah. So the other thing is that during all of this, we actually reached out to my electric company because they were the ones that were burying fiber optic lines up the road. And they're like, yeah, we're close enough now. We can probably have you installed in probably the next 30 to 90 days. I'm like, okay, so where do I sign up? So I go and look at it online. Through them, the slowest package they offer is up to 100 down, up to 100 up, and it's $10 per month cheaper than what I'm paying for right now. So needless to say, I placed that order yesterday before the other tech ever even got here. Just saying.
Right. Yeah, Jeff just said in chat, Starlink put up 58 satellites last week. That's what actually puts it into the beta testable range, Jeff. That's when it was those satellites, and then I think there's another launch that will there will be enough of them up there where he can start beta testing. See? So, yes, I'm very excited about that. But, yeah, no, I mean, power – I mean, internet over power, I'm a fan of that too, because you have to have a power line come to your house.
Oh, well, that's the thing. One of my old jobs that I had when I worked for DirecTV, we actually worked for a project because I was part of their broadband division. That was one of our first beta projects, was an internet over power line service that was offered in Texas. We helped design the system. We helped write. We helped do all the troubleshooting, all of it. And then eventually, when that phased out, we started helping to build DirecTV's whole home project, and then worked with one of their partners, Wild Blue, which was a satellite internet company. Worst thing ever, by the way. If you think Usenet is bad, but anyway, that's kind of when anybody starts talking about satellite internet, I start flashing back to trying to teach 90-year-old women how to make their mouse work, and I'm like, no, not gonna do it. But anyway,
put your mouse over my computer, then you hear the audible click of a mouse touching the monitor. Back in the CRT days.
Yeah, no, and that was literally about how long ago that was. Honestly, there weren't really flat screens much yet. But yeah, so, and you know, that was the thing. I was one of the first people that was like, because I'm talking to this 80-year-old lady. Her children had bought her internet for Christmas and a computer. She had no idea how to use any of it. So I'm trying to walk her through setting it up. And after being on the phone with her for 30 minutes, I could hear this 6-year-old, well, probably, it turns out he was like 6-7 years old. But I kept hearing this kid playing in the background. And I'm like, ma'am, please don't misunderstand. I really don't. I'm not trying to offend you, but at this point, we're not really getting anywhere. I can hear what appears to be maybe your grandson playing in the background. Can I talk to him for a minute?
Right.
Dude was literally like 7-year-old kid, and everybody like that was on the road with me is like, oh my god, you're going to get fired. And I'm like, watch this. Like 30 seconds later, kid had the computer up and running, was clicking on the right stuff, showing his grandma what to do. And then my boss comes up and says, from now on, everybody do this if you can. Because we have handle time goals, damn it.
Right. Get the kid on the phone.
But yeah, so anyway. But you know, I mean, I'm not... I do have a degree in IT work, but I haven't really kept up with it. So, I mean, most of the stuff that I know how to do is pretty ancient. That's why when everybody's like, hey, you want to help with the website? I'm like, no.
No.
I understand the concepts. I don't really... Like, the last time I looked behind the dashboard at the website, my other eye started twitching. It's like, what the hell is all this?
What is it? What, yeah.
But yeah, so anyway, so that's been my week. For all the rest of you that are like, oh, my life is so terrible, yeah, you didn't have my week, just saying.
Hey, you know what though, it personally affected me, because this week I've had the Psalms, and of course there was no daily dose.
I know, right? You were the
favorite. What the fuck am I supposed to do with myself between 4 and 6 a.m. Pacific time?
You could have listened to the reruns.
No, I can't. Well, yeah, I gotta fix that.
Extra clicks, baby.
Speaking of the website, I've got to do that.
Extra clicks, baby. Extra clicks. Anyway.
No, I've got to. I, you know, every time I think about, oh, I could do the daily dose real quick, it's like 5 minutes before you or Lou are producing, and I don't want to log into the main account to get the information I need for the RSS feed and everything. So,
you can actually be logged in at the same time we are. It won't hurt anything.
Okay, you say that.
No, I'm serious, because we're using an app to produce. It's not actually tied to the account.
Okay. All right, now that I know, I'll still probably finish. Anyway. So
the only reason I know that's not an issue is...
What else is going on?
Yeah, the only reason I know that's not an issue is I'm usually logged in on about 3 separate browsers doing multiple things while I'm producing, so... Just saying. I know it won't
hurt anything. When is the KLRN app coming out? No. No.
I have been kind of looking into that, but it's going to be a while.
No.
I said it's going to be a while.
I am not an app developer.
I didn't say you were.
Okay. You know, if Cloud Hub could get their shit together. Did you see they got delisted from Google Play Store?
I did not, no.
Well, they're doing channels now, so they are competition to YouTube. So Google delisted them from the Play Store.
Yeah, well. The only problem I have with that is they're only doing video channels, and I'm not, I mean, I'm not ready for that. We have too many people that don't want to put their face out there, so.
Yeah, I mean, I got my cool masks in from Liberty Junkies, so I could wear that on there. My No Step on Snick one.
Sorry, now that I'm trying to do radio, suddenly my allergies have all decided to hate me.
Yeah, I know, me too.
I'm like, what the hell? It's my fault, though. This is karma, because I was making fun of G for the whole first hour, because he's like... And I'm like, yeah, dude.
You've been all sued if had before the show.
I was like, dude, when are you going to start sharing some of that coke you're bumping live on the air? He's like, I wish. Anyway, but yeah, so, you know, so no, I didn't know that. Cloud Hub did finally get their channel stuff together. I think they actually have a web-based platform now, but I haven't actually. Problem is,
they do, but you can't really do, I mean, you can post, but like if you want to change your avatar, you need to get logged in through the app. If you want to edit your account in any way, meaningful way, you need to log in through the app. Mm. You can't do it through desktop.
Nice.
Yeah.
I can do KLR in video. I'll just wear a Bigfoot mask.
There we go. Yeah, you go with that. That'll be a FUBAR thing. Sam and the Amish Bigfoot. That's why we have all that Bigfoot erotica. And fish porn.
If we ever get Sam to do any type of a video channel, the first time anybody's on with her, somebody has to wear a fish mask. I'm just saying. Oh, anyway.
It will not be me. That will be weird. That would be weird.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys are basically family, so that would kind of...
Yeah, I'll get the creature from the Black Lagoon mask.
Okay. Oh. So, in case you haven't heard, apparently COVID is spiking in Oklahoma again, but... Interestingly enough, that is a report that is corresponding to the fact that Donald Trump's going to be here this weekend in Tulsa.
Of course.
No, I will not be going because it's Father's Day and I'm not going to Tulsa on that weekend. Besides, I'm not going to any big cities right now because y'all are fucking nuts. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Okay. I really wanted to talk about this on Monday, but Fu had a leaky eye. So... I think that it's hilarious that all of the time on social media, whenever we talk about, you know, limited government or whatever, the left will always go, oh, you know, you're just libertarians and your libertarian utopia is Somalia and, you know, you'd have warlords there in the span of a week. It took 36 hours before a warlord to put himself in power of Seattle in the Chaz.
So, you know, see, this is one of the things that's been driving me crazy, because all this stuff really started breaking right as I didn't have internet. That was one of the first things that I thought about. I was like, okay, so the same people that tell us that America doesn't need border walls, and that the South are pussies for seceding and traitors, the first thing they do when they have a chance is secede from a city and build a border wall.
Yeah, and then instill a warlord. It just cracks me up because it's like they always say the end result of libertarianism and minarchy is Somalia, and there will just be a bunch of warlords. And so what do the progressives do? One, they make a garden that obviously nobody understands how seeds work that gets trampled on by a drunk high bow staff ninja. Then they build walls. Warlord goes into power. They request porta potties, and they've basically gone full Lord of the Flies with cell phones.
I mean, the thing that drives me the most crazy about this is you have the mayor of Seattle supporting these people. They've taken over a large section of your city, and you're cool with it. What the hell?
Yeah. Yeah, apparently they didn't like Chaz, so now it's Chop, whatever Chop means. But I like Chaz because that's totally the white suburban trust fund baby who is a member of Antifa and doesn't have to work and is probably currently squatting in the Chaz. So that made more sense to me.
Well, I think because they were calling it an autonomous zone, which is where the last two parts of Chaz came from,
right.
Everybody was making the same kind of jokes I was. Like, the same people that said the South were pussies for seceding just seceded from the city of Seattle. So now they've changed it to where the word Occupy is in there because they're trying to harken back to Occupy Wall Street or other bullshit.
Oh, okay, so Antifa isn't a terrorist organization, but they have just occupied a major city.
Tomato, tomato.
It's the thing, and we see this all the time on social media. They don't know what words mean. You know, when they say, "Oh, you know, we've occupied," that is a very specific military term. I'm sorry, but it is. So they have just declared themselves.
I mean, I'm just thinking, you know, as soon as they took a section of the city and said, "This is ours, stay out." I don't see how this ends well.
You know, and it's like Ron just said in chat, you could solve that real quick by just shutting the power off. Kill the utilities.
Well, I mean, they could, but the mayor's a cheerleader for them, so why would that happen?
Well, I don't know the inner workings of Seattle, but in many municipalities, the power company is not an extension of the government. I mean, they are a de facto one with the public utilities, but I mean, there's competing, you know, in my small town, there's two competing power companies.
Yeah, no.
So, I'm just saying, I mean, granted, you've got Southern California Edison, which basically occupies all of Southern California, except for the territory claimed by Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. So it's kind of like a turf war, and we are the DMZ between them up here.
Oh, man. It's just, it would be funny if it wasn't true.
You know... It really has kind of hamstrung a lot of leftist arguments. You know, well, you know, you've got to stay locked down because of the COVID unless you're protesting.
Yeah,
because,
you know, the virus is woke and it won't kill you if you're protesting, especially if you're protesting for Black Lives Matter.
Right. But if you're actually protesting beach closures, then it's going to kill you. They got the Grim Reaper out there to tell you it's going to kill you.
I think one of my
COVID wants you to stay home.
I think one of my favorite lines today, because, you know, they started showing footage here locally of people that have already started lining up out in front of the BOK Center to make sure they get a seat for Trump's rally. One of the ladies that was there says, "For everybody that keeps telling me that I'm going to catch COVID-19 for coming to a rally, I'm no more afraid of catching COVID-19 at this rally than I am when I go to Walmart."
Right. And that's the argument that never. This is why the media doesn't pay attention to their own words, in that going to a protest, going to Walmart, going to the grocery store, that won't kill you. Going to a Trump rally, going to the beach, going to a swimming pool, that'll kill you. It's just, without a consistency and message, these people will never be trusted again, especially when Fauci came out today and said, "Yeah, we basically overstated the mask thing."
Wait, he said what? I missed it, because remember I was yelling at
Tim. I've got to find the exact quote. You know what? Why don't we go to commercial and I'll find the exact quote?
Yeah, it is about that time. We can do that. Yeah, give me just a second. We can definitely do that, because it is about that time anyway. I didn't realize we were already that close.
Well, you know, somebody's got to watch the clock.
Yeah, well. You're used to watching BBC, so what's one more C? We'll be back.
Hey, now.
We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. Too many people making too many problems, and they
prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to the Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new signature wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat basement, average 6-inch sub.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 5,000 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 5,000. Enjoy!
Welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Robinson and Horty Show, as we have temporarily renamed it, until my imaginary friend Dan becomes non-essential again, or until things start returning to normal. I don't know about the rest of you, but I'm starting to think normal may never happen again. Because anyway,
yeah. I don't know if you saw in the chat when you were doing your internet rant.
Yep.
But they were like going, who is this voice? Who is this? Is this Dan? Is Dan real? Because you were gone for a week.
Nice. Yeah, no, we talked
about it on Cyber Wars this week. Yeah, we love the one of the things we love about the chat is that they've developed their own culture of inside jokes and memes, like she takes a bite and that fucking rooster and spins and all of it. It's just it's awesome. And so you and I were talking about it during the break and how it's really cool.
No, I mean, it really is. I mean, and we talk about it a lot, but I think some people think that we're not being sincere about it. But guys, I mean, at least for me, I started doing this when nobody barely knew what a podcast was. Now there are literally millions of them, and we have a core group that tune in for everything that we put out. That is absolutely amazing to me. And the group is actually growing. I mean, I don't talk about this that often because I don't want anybody to think I'm just bragging about us, but you guys have gotten to the point now where before my internet died last week, we put together three $2 days in a row on the little ad revenues that we get from Spreaker. For those of you who understand how that type of ad revenue works, that means we were getting serious numbers for about 3 days straight. We were seeing higher numbers than I've seen in a long time. And that's because you guys are not only, listening on a regular basis, some of you, I'm sure, are telling your friends about us. I'm not sure why, but thank you. Just saying.
Anyway. Yeah. When we took a break on FUBAR, I was like, okay, well, I guess I'm done podcasting for a while. And then all of a sudden, here's four shows, and a good core group is there for most of them, if not all of them. And it really feels good. I mean, you guys really make us feel good on how much you support us and care for us and involve yourselves in our lives and let us involve ourselves in your lives. And, some of you, Aggie and Jeff, you've stepped up and come up with your own shows, too. It's just awesome. It really is.
Hey, Ron, the fact that you know who Betty Boop is proves that you're probably one of the oldest people in the chat room right now. Just saying.
I know who Betty Boop is. I'm old, too, though, so... Chat Hellion Autonomous Zone. Yeah, we'll take over. That's what we'll call the island, Jess. Stacy keeps talking about us getting an island off Belize. So,
yeah, no, seriously.
He carries the Friday nights. He really does. He's the. All right, Jeff. I really love the new show too. I really do. I don't know, Rick, if you've had a chance to listen to it too much, but it's
Yeah, no, I have.
Okay, that's great.
I mean, I was just really starting to pay attention to it, and then I didn't have internet for a week, so I'm playing catch up now. But
so during the break, I got you that clip of Fauci.
Yeah, you did, and I'm just—I don't know—it reminded me of Biden.
Yes,
just saying. It's kind of what it reminded me of. But yeah, I mean, let's let everybody else hear it just so we can share the pain. Give me just a second.
Yeah.
Now, getting back to your first question, which was, what about a month or so or two or three ago when people were saying you don't really need to wear a mask? Well, the reason for that is that we were concerned, the public health community, and many people were saying this, were concerned that it was at a time when personal protective equipment, including the N95 masks and the surgical masks, were in very short supply. And we wanted to make sure that the people, namely the healthcare workers who are brave enough to put themselves in harm ways to take care of people who you know were infected with the coronavirus and the danger of them getting infected, we did not want them to be without the equipment that they needed. Now, getting back.
So let's explain that for a second. That is Dr. Fauci saying that a few months ago, medical professionals came out and said you don't really need to wear a mask in order for medical professionals to have masks.
Hmm. Yeah.
So how many people, and we all saw, both on the right and the left, who took Fauci's word as, written in stone by the finger of God, this is what you should do. And when he says, and when health professionals say, you don't really need to wear a mask, people take that and run with it. And this was at the peak 3-4 months ago, you know, in February and March, when people were getting infected.
Yeah, I just want to make sure people understand the little bit that he just said there. We told you, you being the public, that you didn't need to wear masks because we were wanting to make sure that the people that we knew were going into dangerous situations had more than enough masks. It's not because it actually wouldn't have helped. They lied.
Yeah, they flat out lied.
They lied. I mean, and I'm sorry, you know me. I'm usually pretty, you know, I try to call it down the middle when it comes to the president. Some people hate that, some people don't. But the simple fact of the matter is, one of the people that was involved in his task force just admitted to the American people that they chose to lie to preserve masks. Did he know that at the time? Because if he knew that, that pisses me off.
Right. And if he didn't know it at the time, he should make sure Fauci is fired. I don't know that you can make it so he presses charges, because you can't directly attribute deaths to him. But that is some serious, serious malpractice.
I got it, Ron. I just couldn't say anything at the time because we were talking. Ron posted in chat, two utes. Then like 30.
What's that?
Then 30 seconds later, he's like, I'm sorry, Your Honor, two youths. It's a line from My Cousin Vinny.
I know.
But yeah, so, but that's...
Whatever happened to Marissa Tomei?
I don't know, dude. She was hot.
She was hot. But I think the last time I saw her was in Four Rooms.
Yeah, I think so. But I just, you know, again, you know, with all the things that are coming out now and all the things that we're finding out that were basically, oh, we told you this to keep you locked up, or we told you this because we were trying to do this, or we told you this because we were trying to do that. And now they're like, what happens when the government calls for another shutdown? Fuck you. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because we aren't listening time.
They are constantly and repeatedly screwing the pooch on us ever taking them seriously again. You'll get the sheep who will. And you'll get the media who will go to whatever side, you know, the Dems tell them to go to on the topic. But people like you and me and our listeners, fuck you. You know, it's got to be Ebola before I even think of... And it's got to be rampant. I mean, I've got to watch two of my neighbors drop before I'll be like, oh, I should probably take this seriously.
Dude, I'm seriously not locking down for anything like a fucking super flu ever again, because this thing was overblown to like the nth degree. And I'm just over all of it at this point. And the thing about it is, you can see how it's still being used politically, because you have a bunch of people that say, oh, this type of protest is much more important than the COVID. But, oh, Donald Trump shouldn't go to this town because it's going to cause COVID to spike. What they're scared about is, you know, for those of you keeping score, President Trump's birthday was not too long ago. He raised $14 million in 24 hours on his birthday. That's why they're scared.
And the other reason why they want to push it is because if Trump goes out and starts doing rallies, then Biden has to. And Biden has poll numbers has gone up since his control. His access to the public has been very controlled and very scripted. And even then, he still sounds like a babbling fucking idiot. But he has to get back out on the campaign trail. And if he's got to start doing debates, all hope is lost.
Untrue, Jess. I wouldn't wish what I've just gone through for the last 4 days on anyone. Not even Ron. Just saying.
Yeah, I went through it for 6 months. I mean, I could get internet, but sometimes it was my full 150. Sometimes it was... Yeah, so.
She's like, I've been trying to talk
about it. You heard it. I mean, you know, I'd be halfway through a foobar, halfway through a show with you, and I'd just turn into a robot.
We just figured it was Alexa trying to take over your house.
There's that, too. That's why I mute her during the shows now.
Because you have to, because if not, somebody's going to shut your computer down.
I'm so bummed. I got my mic in. My new mic in.
I was going to ask you about that. Before.
Yeah, it just came in this afternoon, 20 minutes before I had to go on the air with Fubar. So I didn't have a chance to hook it up. But I am using voice meter now, so if I sound different and clearer, that's I went back to using voice meter.
Yeah.
Because I actually heard a replay. When I listened to the replay that you and I did, Jeff ran a replay of our Number Station show episode of mm-hmm. Juxtaposition. And compared to what I heard, what I sounded like on FluBar the week before, I knew that voice meter was all the difference in that because I was still using voice meter when we did that episode, and then I just didn't install it when I did my last format. So I did a format this week, and I made sure that was the second thing I put on after all of my drivers.
Yeah, I can see that. You do sound you did sound a little bit clearer. I just assumed you'd gotten the new mic working.
Yeah, no, not yet. So when I got this new mic, for those of you who have been keeping score at home, I got the Audio-Technica ATR2100X. It's both USB and XLR. So it's like I can start out with the digital USB, and as I expand out my system into an XLR system, it has that versatility.
He has training wheels, ladies and gentlemen. He has training wheels.
But, yeah, I got my pop filter and my shock mount and my arm and everything. So, yeah, it was a great deal on Amazon, $130 for the whole thing.
Yeah, needless to say, I got basically the same setup, but for $50.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Yeah, this one, it's kind of funny. As I talked myself out of the Yeti, because I started watching reviews on it, and everybody said the reason why Yeti is so popular is because Yeti is so popular. It's like Nike and Apple. Nobody can point to why it is a better mic. They just use it because their favorite streamer uses it or their favorite YouTuber uses it or so.
Well, I have to admit, for me, I started using it because when I first started trying to figure out how to do this, I had no idea how to put any of the equipment together, and Yeti was basically point and shoot. So it was like, yeah. I plugged it in and it worked. But then as I got more serious about it and I started having, you know, radio stations that were listening to my stuff, and they're like, we would love to run you, but there's this weird hum in the background, and it just doesn't sound right for us, and it won't work. And even after I gave up on all that stuff, I was like, I still want to get to the point where I eventually have like a little area where I do like even if it's just kind of a mini recording studio, kind of like what I have right now. The next thing I'm going to be working on is since I have a better mic and I actually have the XLR Phantom Power stuff now, I'm going to get a shadow box for the mic and then probably put together one of those old style, you know, old school like room dividers like they had for like military hospitals back in the day, and just put like the foam panels on both sides of it. That way I can just pull it across and try to kill some of the echo. I mean, I know you guys don't hear as much of it because this new mic filters it, but I can still hear it in my ears and it drives me crazy.
Yeah, that's the one thing, you know, I keep talking about the, you know, I tell the other, you know, other people, other podcasters on KLRN, you know, when they want to set up their system and you tell them to use voice meter and then you say, well, talk to Ordy because he's, you know, so what I did is I found this great 2020 updated video for voice meter, and the one, you know, it explains a lot of the more esoteric things in voice meter that I didn't really understand. But one of them was he really went deep dive into, well, not really deep dive, but he spent time on the using the gate in it for background noise, you know, and explaining how with voice meter, it is where your voice gets active. You know, it's if you're talking quietly, it won't pick it up as well. But if, you know, and it blocks out a lot of, you know, great ambient noise. Like I'm sitting right next to my computer that has 744 millimeter fans on it. So, or 240 millimeter fans on it.
I was going to say, how big is your computer, bro?
Yeah. So, anyway. Yeah, well, you know, three on the front, two on the top, one on the back, one on the bottom. I have a lot of air going through my case because it's a pixel collider and it's hotter than fuck.
Anyway,
a lot of fan noise that I've got to turn the gate way up on. So
I was going to say, if you're running that hot of a system, you should just probably start trying to look into water cool.
I do have a water cool. That's three of the fans on the front.
Ah, okay.
I'm also in the desert, Rick.
Well, shut up.
The ambient temperature in my room is generally 80 degrees.
We already know that in the summer you spend most of your waking moments making ball soup. Nobody needs to hear that.
Right. So, yeah. So anyway, yeah, new mic, so we have that to look forward to. Are we doing a Jux this Friday?
We had talked about it, but I haven't been able to research anything, so...
Okay.
Kind of...
I know.
I don't know, yeah. I mean...
We talked about doing back-to-back, because we owe it. I mean, we've gone a month without doing a new episode. We had to rebroadcast our MK Ultra, and then because of shenanigans and fuckery with your ISP, we had to rebroadcast last Friday.
So this is what
I'm
thinking.
From the high desert.
Now that I actually have internet again, let's go ahead and take this week off, and then we can do back-to-back the following two.
Okay.
Because I kind of feel all like, right. I mean, if you can do the extra one, I can do the extra one. It's just with the topic that we were
the
talking about
we
doing.
Don't do it, the reason why we don't do it weekly is because that's the date night with your wife.
Yeah.
Your date, not mine.
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, no, I get that. You don't. Your date nights insist of leaving $25 on a table when you leave. Oh wait, sorry. No, that was JD. My bad. Sorry. Wrong co-host.
Well, he pays by the inch. If you don't understand JD's fixation with midget porn and midget strippers and midget, so anyway,
midgets in general,
he pays $1 an inch in height.
Oh, this show went to hell quick. Anyway, oh, it's a good thing we were in the disclaimer. Just saying.
Yeah.
All right, so we do have a few minutes left because we got a late start, so we might as well at least round things out. What are you watching right now?
You know what, you bastard? I went back and started watching Stargate Season 6.
Nice.
You mentioned it the last time we talked. I was like, you know what? Okay, I do like the Jonas years. And I like it immediately after Daniel comes back. So, yeah, I've been watching that season because you put it in my head.
I'm up to season 9 now. I haven't been able to watch any for a few days, so I'm kind of playing catch up now. But I'm watching season 9 now. I've been going back and rewatching Babylon 5. I'm up to the year that doesn't exist now. And now I remember why it doesn't exist, because I was like, what the hell did they do? And the weirdest...
Yeah, no. Season 5 of Babylon 5 is the Grandpa Joe of Babylon 5.
So here's the thing that I don't understand. It's kind of like, because, you know, the way Season 4 ended, and the very final episode is like this thing where they're doing all these, you know, flash-forward, flashback kind of things. And I'm thinking, okay, so they're kind of summarizing everything, and this is probably going to be it. And then they're like, oh, just announced Babylon 5 Season 5. And then it comes on, and I'm like, why? 'Cause...
And, you know, it wasn't even a good setup for the miniseries and made-for-TV movies. It was just bad. It served no purpose other than to piss everybody off.
It was just weird. I mean, honestly, I spent most of the time I didn't have internet rewatching the rest of season 4, and I actually forgot how much I liked season 4 because there was so much in there. And then
there's so much going on.
So, well, the only because I don't have internet, the only way I've been able to watch it is I've been recording it through my DVR off of Comet, and so there was a gap from the time that I caught up on season 4 and when the season 5 stuff started wrapping. So I watched a little bit of Stargate last night because my internet was working. It just was still working like shit. And then I went to bed and turned on the first episode of season 5, and I'm like, yep, nope, not, now I remember why I hated this season.
It's like, Peter, what? I'm done.
It was just weird, dude. I mean, it was completely disjointed, and certain things didn't even make any sense, and I'm just like, no. Did you guys forget most of what just happened in season 4? I'm really confused.
I know. Were they trying to retcon it? Were they just trying to relaunch it? Did they get picked up for a season and Straczynski really didn't want to? I've never seen a good explanation of what the fuck happened with season 5.
I don't know, because, I mean, the show had a fairly consistent Bible up until season 5. I mean, there were times when you could see it was kind of, well, we've got to fill a certain number of episodes, and we don't really have anything, so we're just going to kind of throw this one in there. But, I mean, all the shows back then did that. That's why they've gone to, like, these 10-season show formats now, because they don't have to do the, oh, it's time for the obligatory 3-times-a-season flashback episode.
Yeah, you know, you've got the clip shows to explain what happened. Like you said, you know, the first three, you know, first third of the season, you got to have a clip show. And then you've got the... A friend of a friend wrote a script for Stargate, so we're going to throw it in here. And it really doesn't have anything to do with the story, but you know, we'll put in a minor story element. So that way, if you didn't watch it, you have to watch it later because you fucking missed something.
So I'm just wondering so speaking of Stargate, I don't know if you've noticed this yet, but somewhere around season 5, season 6, you start seeing Peter DeLuise listed as like a creative consultant. And then by like season 8, he's like an executive producer. Halfway through season 8, he's directing episodes and writing scripts. I'm like, who the fuck was he sleeping with?
No, it was after the Wormhole Extreme episode. That's when he got in with the show. His dad was on the show, and then he got into it, and then his brother was dating Sam for a while.
Yeah, I know.
So, yeah, you had the whole family in there.
Yeah, it was just kind of creepy.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, how did this happen? In fact, I think he had a lot to do on Atlantis, too.
Yeah, I'm sure if I went back and looked, I'd probably see his name. Atlantis was the first one I watched. I tried to put off going back and watching the originals because I started trying to watch SGU again. I just couldn't really get into that one this time. I think what did that one in for me, though, is I got pissed off with the way they ended it. Because I was just like, so you're just going to put him into stasis and never we're just never going to know what happens next? Fuck you.
Yeah, it's the Cousin Arnold of Stargate series.
Yeah, it's the Enterprise of Stargate. Because nobody really cares what happens because y'all fucked up everything. Anyway.
You know, I'll say it. Two things killed that show. The theme song.
Oh, God.
And the Beagle. I love dogs. I fucking love dogs. But that dog served no purpose. And how did that dog not die 1,000 times from getting spaced? You know, because that ship was always getting the shit kicked out of it. You know, so.
So, yeah, no, I mean, honestly, I think part of what killed that show, like legit killed that show, is that was their first real attempt at trying to do not just episodic, but serial.
Sure.
And that's
yeah, I mean, there would be story arcs, but yeah, you're right.
I mean, and that's the thing, you know, occasionally with Next Generation, they would like sneak it in and there'd be a few episodes where things would tie together. And they even do the same thing with Stargate, because you'll always know, because that's when you last time, previously on Stargate SG-1. Like, oh, great, here comes another part of the story arc again. But for Star Trek, once they got past that first season, it was basically this whole thing for like the whole time it was running. And if you missed an episode, you were fucked. And I hated that, because I used to, like, I liked being able to basically just watch an episode whenever I wanted to with Star Trek. Because, I mean, that's like when I was a kid, I had no idea there were just 3 seasons of the original Star Trek. Because I didn't ever see it when it was actually live. Because by the time I was watching it, it was in syndication. And it didn't matter to me what episode number it was or anything else. And it didn't matter to me that I'd seen it 20 other times. Because, you know, it was just a fun show to watch. But when they started to take what was basically an episodic type show with some minor story arcs occasionally and make it just this big continuous stream of bullshit, because that's the other thing. I don't know who the hell wrote the Bible for that show, but there's not a fucking Grand Canyon in Florida, okay? Just saying.
Yeah, and that's... Yeah, I... Did they fill it in? They fill it in the time between Enterprise and regular Star Trek and just never talk about it again.
And then, you know, and again, this is probably just me being the purist that I am, but one of the first things that really pissed me off about that show is this was supposed to be around the time that they met the Romulans for the first time. Does anybody else not remember that in the original Star Trek, when they were talking about the Romulans, they had no idea that they looked like the Vulcans because they could only communicate via subspace radio? They had no visual communication. None. It was all radio. And that was one of the first... I was like, why the fuck is there a view screen? I mean, seriously, if you're going to do it, at least fucking do it right. Why was there a view screen?
Technology? There's a phrase in Battletech called lost tech. And that's where, like, after wars and regression, nobody knows how to make those things anymore. So, you know, did they forget how to make view screens? Did they forget how to make television?
I don't understand why. I mean, and this isn't the first time that I've seen things like this, and I am one of those people, and it's probably because I have this annoying habit of usually once I've read something, I typically don't forget it. Now, don't ask me where the fuck I put my car keys at any given time, because I really couldn't tell you that. So it's not like I have an eidetic memory or anything. I just have really good recall. I mean, I was tested to pretty close to eidetic at one point in time, but I've noticed as I get older that doesn't seem to work as well. But that's a story for another day. But, like, there's one of the shows that I've watched for forever is Days of Our Lives. That show has been reworked and revamped and redone so many times. Like, there was one time that my wife watches, and that's part of the probably the only reason I still watch it, because we watch it together. There was a character that got written back into the show after years. And he's sitting there, and he's talking to some of the other Brady family members, and he's like, I remember being a kid and sweeping up the floors at the pub. I'm like, motherfucker, when you were on this show, the Brady's owned a fish market.
Right.
Stop it! And my wife's just looking at me, and she's like, "You take this shit way too seriously." I'm like, "It's part of the show. If you're, I understand writers come and writers go, but there's a show bible for a reason. That kind of stuff should be kept up with." I'm just saying.
And this speaks to the failure of Star Wars, the new Star Wars, and the writers for it and the producers and everything else, you know, they're the ones who say, you know, canon doesn't matter. You know, it's a universe with space wizards. Whatever you want to be canon is canon. Whatever you want to throw out, you throw. No. Canon is important. That is why TV shows have. I'm drawing a blank on the word right now. Because I remember what you were talking about. They have somebody whose whole job with the show is to make sure that it remains consistent. Unless it's something, you know, like Simpsons or Family Guy or whatever.
Showrunner.
You know, where not just a showrunner, but there's an actual term for it that they pretty much hold on to the show's bible. You know, they'll go through it and go, no, they owned a fish market. Fix that. And anyway, so. Yeah, when they break consistency, when they break canon, you just killed the show.
I mean, and that was kind of the thing for me, because don't get me wrong, as much as I picked apart...
Continuity.
Continuity. But yeah.
Continuity, Yeah,
so, but as much as I picked apart the new Star Wars, there were still things about it that I liked, but part of what I didn't like is between the new Star Wars movies and then the prequels and then the originals, I'm like, there was just this grand thing that just started being lost over time. And it's like they started trying to dumb it down. And then by the end of this thing, they basically filled in all these plot holes by saying, oh yeah, the Force could do pretty much anything now.
Yeah.
Eh?
It's bacteria.
I'm like, I mean, it wasn't even that. I mean, so spoiler alert. But so, you know, Rey and what the hell was the other kid's name? They were like supposedly this big convergence in the Force or some shit. So at the end of this thing, during the big fight scene with what was a clone, by the way, that part should have really been put in there somewhere, because it would have made a lot more sense if somebody would have explained that at the time instead of explaining it 6 months later in a book. So they're like passing physical objects back and forth between each other, like not even in the same area, because they're like this big confluence in the Force or some shit. And I'm like, I've never seen this before. And you probably should have explained it a little bit better before you just said, oh yeah, they're space wizards, they can do whatever.
Here, this bag of holding actually, you know, bilocates, so if somebody else has a identical bag of holding, yeah, that's...
It could have been so much better. And, I mean, by the end of it, I still kind of liked it because at the end, you know, she's, like, burying the lightsabers and somebody asks her who she is and she says, I'm Rey Skywalker. I was like, okay. So that part almost made the rest of the bullshit worth it. Almost. But still, it could have been so much better.
See, Rod, the one thing, it's not that Disney didn't care about continuity, because Disney is actually pretty big on continuity, even when they get into, like, the 10th, you know, Aladdin, the 10th, you know, whatever, you know, where the direct-to-video cartoons, they're still pretty consistent. This has to do with the people that, I don't even want to say Disney hired, Kathleen Kennedy hired. And since George Lucas was since Kathleen Kennedy was George Lucas's successor, this falls directly still on Lucas for what happened to his baby. You know, and we all know that George Lucas killed someone, and their belongings was episode 4 and the second half of episode 5, and then he ad-libbed the rest, which is why there's space Muppets. But
space teddy bears.
I
don't know. See, I was a kid when...
You know the one thing that's lost on everybody is that Ewoks are cannibals. They're not really cannibals, but they eat people. They cooked the stormtroopers and ate them. They were going to cook Han and Luke.
That's not those aren't cannibals. You're only cannibalistic if you eat your own kind.
Okay, well, you know what? They're into the long pig.
Well, I mean, to them, that's no different than us eating a cow. I'm just saying.
Fair. Okay. Still.
But yeah, so, you know, and we joke about that all the time, but I mean, if you look at how well-developed episode 4 was, and then most of episode 5 was, and then episode 6 is a total train wreck. And don't get me wrong, I was a kid when episode 6 came out, and at that age, I absolutely loved that movie.
Sure.
And I will go back and watch it today, and I'm like, goddamn, was I high? Because, I mean, Mark Hamill trying to use a lightsaber is probably one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Just saying.
Yeah. It is something Jess pointed out to me, and it all the times I've watched it. What's up?
Hang on. I'm not sure if that's on your end or mine. Hang on, let me try some. Okay, say something.
Okay. So yeah, I'm hearing myself again.
It'll take a second to fix itself. I think our two all voice right. meters were fighting with each other again.
Okay. Jess pointed out to me, in all the times I've watched Empire, I never noticed it. Hamill's wearing lifts.
Yeah, I noticed.
I had never noticed it. And she sent me a screen grab of it, and she's all, "My boy wearing lifts."
I don't think they really called them lifts at the time, though, because remember, that was like a popular style of shoe back then.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean...
But basically they're platform shoes. I mean, call them what you want. They're...
Yeah, but yeah, that was, you know, that was shortly after the whole let's put goldfish in shoes thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's still short as fuck.
Till to this day. But I don't know. I mean, I just hate the fact that such a big part of what I really enjoyed about my childhood has been fucked beyond belief.
You know, and it was... They blame the poor showing of Solo on why they're not doing any more, like, origin stories, like they were going to do one for Kenobi. And, you know, they're running out of time because Ewan McGregor's not going to be young forever. And, you know, he's not going to be able to pull that one off before he starts looking like Alec Guinness. But, you know, and but the thing is that the problem with Solo, it had too many chefs involved. I mean, you had Ron Howard in it, and then he wasn't, and then you had two directors fired, a slew of producers, Kathleen Kennedy getting involved, Kathleen Kennedy backing away from the project, just saying, just finish the fucking thing. And then, you know, it just, that's... Solo could have been good.
Well, so to
even taking out the pansexual robots and what?
Well, anyway. The pansexual was Londo, by the way, not the robots.
Right.
But yeah. So, but here's my thing with Solo. Honestly, I think Solo should have been a run up. First of all, it should have been done a little bit differently, but it should have been a run up to Episode 7. Because part of what turned, episode 7. Because part of what turned me off about Solo is I don't really care how the Solo story started because you just showed me how it ended.
Yeah. Right. But instead they went with Rogue One, which was, you know, Rogue One is probably the best of all of the new movies.
It was really well
done. And I'm including the prequels. I liked Rogue One, even though I know that they're dying, you know. But, It was good. Force Awakens was not. None of the prequels were good. I mean, some were worse than others, but you know, it's like I tell people, if you really want to enjoy the prequels, watch Red Letter Media do them.
I mean, the thing that pissed me off about Force Awakens, and I'm just going to put this out there because people hate it when I do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. Force Awakens was episode 4 with a woke star. Because basically they took Mark Hamill's character, turned it into a chick, and it's basically the same exact fucking show.
No, exactly. It is. It's like, okay, we're going to start out. We've talked about this on Culture Shift. We're going to start out in the desert. Okay, this sounds like New Hope. No, but it's a chick. Oh, okay, that's different.
But I mean, if you go back and you look, I mean, and this is just to show you how unimaginative the whole thing is. So the first opening scene, other than, you know, when the destroyer was shooting at Leia's ship, was on a desert. The first time you see Hamill, he's wearing this all white desert outfit, and and the first time you see Rey, she's wearing a female version of the same fucking outfit. And I'm like, and then the big, you know, the boss fight at the end is a long range Death Star. The fuck. We've already done this. Why are we doing this again?
It's basically, it's a shot-for-shot remake.
It literally is.
Yeah.
And
I don't know when the rule was that every machine of the Empire has to get progressively larger and more powerful.
Yeah, well, you know, Emperor's...
Yeah, it's like, okay, the Death Star wasn't enough. We can destroy planets with it. But no, we really need to be able... Let's take out an entire solar system. Let's just burn a whole fucking galaxy. You know, it's... Yeah, and I blame this because it was in the books, too. Because, you know, it's like the Death Star wasn't enough. They had the Sun Crasher. But that was actually a small ship designed to destroy... So they kind of borrowed heavily from Douglas Adams, I think, with the Sundive ship from Disaster Area. But in this case, it would destroy a sun. But yeah, I don't know why the, you know, it's like, oh shit, you know what? These giant moon-sized battle stations, just maybe if we invested in better training so our stormtroopers could hit shit.
Well, the other, that too. So stormtroopers can't shoot anything. That's always been a thing. But I think the other reason that the Emperor's toys kept having to get bigger is because each clone, something shrunk just a little bit more.
But you know, there's a theory that the stormtroopers were missing on purpose.
Yeah, that could be interesting.
And you'll notice this is where Palpatine did nothing wrong. Stormtroopers have a stun setting. Nobody else does.
Huh.
You never hear anybody else say set for stun. No, they shoot him in the face.
So what you're saying is you're buying in to Anakin's take that Palpatine was the good guy here.
You know what? I might be.
Yeah.
I might be.
Not surprised to the guy that usually yells Hail Hydra at the end of every show.
Yeah. All right. No, Palpatine did nothing
wrong. I actually rewatched the prequels the other day because my grandson and my nephews were over, and they're younger, so that's their first reference to Star Wars was the prequels, really. And they enjoy them. And honestly, there are certain things about them that I liked. I didn't realize, though, that... Because I always kind of thought that the episode 2 was my favorite one. I realized I was kind of blurring together parts of 2 and parts of 3, because I didn't realize that the big attack sequences and everything didn't actually happen until episode 3. But Hayden Christensen ruined that whole thing. I'm just saying. I think that's his name anyway.
Yes. He is the male Kristen Stewart.
I mean, it's just like even when
he has the emotional, he has the acting emotional range
of a toddler.
Where she has perpetual resting bitch face, he is in perpetual tantrum.
I don't know. It was so weird because, I mean, it was just like his whole performance was flat. Even when he's mad, it's just like there's nothing there. I don't know.
You know, okay. Here's my theory. Hayden Christensen took the scene of Luke whining about wanting to go into Tashi Station to pick up some power converters
and made that his whole abuse.
That's how the family is. He's going to be just like his dad, and I'm going to act like that all the fucking time. That's the only thing I can think of. He picked that one moment out of episode 4 and said, oh, that's quintessential Luke. That's a Skywalker trait right there. Run with it.
It makes more sense than anything else. But, yeah, I mean, that's like even in episode 2, I think it was episode 2, where he figures out that his mom was kidnapped by the Sand People. And he, like, goes and slaughters them all. Then I'm like, and he comes back and he says, I killed every last one of them. I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you, dude? you just slaughtered an entire group of people. I'm pretty sure you can man up and say it without sounding like Sniffles the Clown.
Right.
Jeez. Anyway.
No, he's just terrible. And, you know, he's been doing a lot of low-budget stuff just to, you know, get the stink of that off of him. And apparently, you know, I watched some – he's actually pretty good if you don't realize it's him. As soon as you realize, oh, that's Anakin.
And it's like, yeah, and, never mind.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen him –
oh, this movie just went to shit.
I've seen him in a couple of other things, and I kind of think he might have done a Cheech Marin, you know, and eventually went and actually got some acting lessons or something. Because some of his later stuff is not that terrible. And, you know, Cheech Marin, you know, started out, for everybody who doesn't know, was like the other half of the pot-smoking team of Cheech and Chong. Tommy Chong basically was still playing that character years later on that 70s show. Cheech Marin went on to actually...
He actually owns a bong company. So, yeah, he embraced that.
Cheech Marin actually went on, took some acting classes, and actually did some fairly decent parts in some, you know, not as really any lead roles, but he had... recurring role on Nash Bridges, which was basically the 90s version of Miami Vice, and whatever.
He played a couple different characters in From Dusk to Dawn.
That's true, I keep forgetting about that. He was pretty good in there.
Yeah, he was great in that. And then, I just had another perfect example of that, and I lost it. Some people, you know, never get out of it. It's like it wasn't until real recently that Keanu Reeves finally got rid of the Bill and Ted. And what do they do? They're making a new Bill and Ted. So it took him 30 years of acting to finally get rid of that stigma for him to go back and make one of them.
Well, that's why he's finally given up and said, okay, fine, fuck it, I'll make another one. But have you seen the trailer for that? Because that is so much more John Wick than Bill as Preston Esquire, just saying.
I haven't.
You need to go watch the trailer, because, yeah. So, you know, just a bit of a side note before we start wrapping things, but one of the most interesting things that I saw when I was starting to put together the intro for the Daily Dose, I went down a bit of a rabbit hole with the Matrix, and, you know, they're talking about doing more Matrix stuff again. Along with the Bill and Ted and the John Wick 4 and everything else. And one of the most interesting, like, fanfic ideas that I've heard is, you know, because at the end of the last episode or the last part of why am I forgetting the name of the show? I just said it. But anyway, so they basically, oh, The Matrix. So at the end of The Matrix, you know, Neo basically just kind of disappears. There's like this whole fan fiction idea going around that Neo has actually become one of the enforcers and that John Wick is actually the new version of The Matrix.
Sure.
The funny thing is, you know, if you don't look too deep, you can almost kind of make that make sense. I was like, that's kind of trippy, but I could almost see that. That was kind of a weird little thing to me when I came across that. So I thought that was kind of cool. But anyway.
Yeah, Chad's talking about how you won't do another hour, but you can stretch 30 minutes out of because it's one thing to do bands. You know, we're really not talking about anything, but when he's doing AOTR, he's got to do his own thing.
Yeah, I don't have anybody to bounce off of. Besides, I'm not doing AOTR this week. I'm just doing it tomorrow night because we're doing a special drink. So,
no, they were talking about how you didn't think you'd be able to pull off an hour. Here we are, 30 minutes into an extended R&W.
Yeah. Actually, technically, we're only about 19 extra minutes in because we got a late start.
Because we went late with Fubar a little bit too.
Yeah, because, you know, Brad can't tell time. Yeah. That's another story.
No, it's this. When I'm working with Brad is like when I'm working with you. It's there's no clock watching except for the bottom of the hour break. It's just kind of like, okay, ranting and raving and dancing. And you know, it's, you know, when I'm on with Fu, I've got to watch the clock because I know that she turns into a pumpkin 18 seconds after the show is over. So
her eye goes all weepy and she can't see anything anymore. And you're like, ah, you kept me on too long.
Yep. So, but yes, happy birthday, Fu. If you listen to this later, we love you.
Yeah, as much crap as we give you, I do really love you and happy birthday. Also, happy birthday to our adult themes lady because it's also her birthday today. I don't know how many people know.
Oh, yeah,
that,
that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Leslie's birthday, too.
Leslie and Sam have the same birthday. They are birthday buddies.
Yeah. Cool. Well, right. Any final thoughts? Yeah, we always do this. It's what do you watch? And we're going to wrap up the show, and then it turns into a half-hour rant about sci-fi and movies and entertainment bullshit.
Well, remember, when we first started talking about doing a show together, basically we were going to do what you and Brad are kind of doing with the Culture Shift.
Yeah.
And then we decided, then I talked you into doing Juxtaposition with me, and so now we just, anytime you're on and it's kind of towards the end, we're like, yeah, throw the script out, let's just have fun. But yeah, so... things are starting to return to normal. We're going to do a makeup episode of Jen and Rick this week, tomorrow night, because, you know, didn't have internet last night. Also going to go ahead and do an Off the Rails, since we're going to go ahead and do it, especially since we're doing another off week for Juxtaposition for this week. But I will talk to the wife first, but since I have had quite a bit of an extended time of not doing this, I think she'll probably be okay with us doing two in a row. But sure. If something changes, I will let you know. But the Daily Dose is back for tomorrow and Friday, unless I wake up in the morning and don't have internet again, which is entirely possible with the provider that I have.
I was just
going to
ask if you're doing a Daily Dose tomorrow. So cool.
Yes, yes, yes. We are back tomorrow. I was actually going to try it this morning, and I just... I tried to fire a Spreaker and it said, no. I ran a speed test, and at that point I was pinging... half a meg. I'm like, yeah, that, or half a gig. It was like, well, half a meg, sorry. Yeah, I'm like, yeah, that's not even, that can't even stream audio.
Yeah, I could barely connect to Skype when I was running that slow.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way you'd be able to.
So, yeah, so the one, and I don't think I don't remember if I said this or not, but I guess the tech, by the time I was done yelling at him and he was figuring out what a messed up thing this was, apparently he went in and upped my speed on my modem to the highest package they offer, and I had the middle one before. He's like, don't tell anybody, and I won't. I'm like, I'll believe it. I'll believe it till I see the bill. But then he's like, and I don't tell them this, but I'm only going to have your service for probably about another month. He's like, oh, right. Okay.
I don't blame you.
That's basically what he said as he was leaving. But yeah, so I didn't believe him, but I went in and ran a speed test after he said he was done, and he told me that he bumped up the package. And normally, because, you know, it's always up to, and especially with DSL, there's pretty large fluctuations. So I'm paying for up to 25 down and 3 up. And then I ran the speed test, and I'm pinging 40 up and 40 down and almost 12 up. I was like, holy crap, he wasn't kidding. He did bump me to their highest package, because the highest one they offer is 50. But it's almost $90 a month, and I wasn't going to pay for that.
All right.
But anyway. So on that note, we should probably get out of here, because I have to get up early,
sure.
And it's been a while since I've done that. So I need to go to sleep, I think. Maybe.
Yeah, and I'll probably be up because we've reached that hot time where I just can't get the house cool enough, and the insomnia kicks in 3:34. So I'll probably be there at the first rooster, the first fucking rooster, not the second one.
We don't run the rooster in the first hour.
Oh, good. I'll have a chance to wake up.
Although
that's the most jarring thing, because I log in about 5:00 my time, and as soon as I hit the play button, there's that fucking rooster.
Well, the funny thing is, sometimes that's not us playing it. That's the Spreaker account actually playing it. Because, yeah, the first ad is actually their ad.
Okay.
All right, so on that note, we're going to get out of here. I will be back bright and early with you tomorrow morning, starting at 6 Eastern for the Daily Dose. And we're going to finish out the week, so we'll do tomorrow and Friday. And then as long as I still have access to the internet, and as long as I continue to be allowed to telecommute, we will keep the thing going. They're starting.
And I'm back with Brad tomorrow on Culture Shift, and then I'll be in chat for Chat Lives Matter Day 2, the pantsening.
Why do I suddenly feel like a seventh grader who needs to run and hide in my locker? We'll see you guys tomorrow.
Hell Hydra.
Hey, where are the white women at?